morning, and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and I'm joined by my wife, Debbie. Debbie, welcome to the program today.
Well, thank you, Jeffrey.
It is Wednesday, July 19th, and the summer is flying by.
Oh, my word, at an exponential rate.
It is crazy. So,
you think it's our age, or you think it's just in general?
I think talking to people, it just seems like everybody's saying the same thing. The summer's just gone. School starts back so early for us in this area in Texarkana, Texas.
August the 9th.
Yes, and so I know the schools all, you know, we have a lot of school districts here with the four states area, but they're starting, they don't necessarily start at the same time. But
which is crazy.
It really is.
They should all coordinate their schedules.
But they start close to the same time, right. And it's early in August. I know for the church, we have this Sunday night, we start King of the Beach, a three-day tournament, a volleyball tournament, and then the next Sunday night, the last Sunday in July, we have our Big Summer Sunday, outdoor baptisms for those who need to be baptized, follow the Lord in baptism, and we'll have hot dogs and watermelon, lots of good things, and water slides for the kids, and it's just a fun time. We do that
every... It's a hot time. But a fun time.
We do that every summer at the end of the kind of the last hurrah of summer before the kids go back to school. And then August, man, we hit the ground running. Well, Debbie and I want to talk today just about, we're going to call this program In the News. What is going on in the news? You know, we refer to 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32 a lot on this program, Real Truth for Today. It says in 1 Chronicles 12:32, and of the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. Their chiefs were 200, and all their kinsmen were at their command. The sons of Issachar were attuned to what was going on in the culture. They knew and understood the times, and you have to understand the times to know what you should do. If you don't understand the times, you're going to be out of touch with, okay, what do we need to do? You know, you can't solve a problem if you don't know what the problem is. And so we want to talk about some of the things going on today, and Debbie alerted me yesterday, I think it was yesterday, to the new Jason Aldean song. I wasn't familiar with him.
Let's preface all of this by saying Jeff's musical window is pretty narrow, and so he's not necessarily up on current
so
music.
She told me, have you heard about the Jason Aldean song? I said, who's Jason Aldean? She said, well, he's a very well-known country and western singer, but he's gotten in the news because way back in May, he released a brand new song that's called Try That in a Small Town. Here are the lyrics. Sucker punch somebody on a sidewalk. Carjack an old lady at a red light. Pull a gun on the owner of a liquor store. You think it's cool? Well, act a fool if you like. Cuss out a cop, spit in his face, stomp on the flag and light it up. Yeah, you think you're tough. Well, try that in a small town. See how far you make it down the road. Around here, we take care of our own. You cross that line, it won't take long for you to find out. I recommend you don't try that in a small town. Got a gun that my granddad gave me. They say one day they're going to round up. Well, that might, has a bad word in there. Well, that stuff might fly in the city. Good luck. Try that in a small town. See how far you make it down the road. Around here, we take care of our own. You cross that line, it won't take long for you to find out. I recommend you don't try that in a small town. Debbie, you and I, we lived in Houston for your native
Houstonian.
And you and I met in Houston at Champion Forest Baptist Church, and then lived in Houston till we moved here. Well, we had some excursions, went to North Carolina to attend seminary, but Houston has been home for a long time until we moved to Texarkana in 2003. And it was a hard transition for us to get acclimated to a small town.
Yes, much harder for myself and our middle daughter. You and Jill and Sarah had an easier time than Amy and I did.
Well, Texarkana is is not a small town by small town standards, but it's a lot smaller than Houston, Texas.
As are most places, right?
So Texarkana is a town of about Texarkana, USA. You know, we're split Texarkana, Texas, Texarkana, Arkansas. We're about 70,000 people, roughly. Mm-hmm. And so not small by those standards, but small for us. Mm-hmm. And it took a long time to acclimate. But I can say, and for the both of us, we love living in a smaller town.
Mm-hmm.
As society goes off the rails and you see it in the big cities, it is nice to be in a small town where, you know, we have crime in Texarkana just like they have crime everywhere.
But drugs. We have all of those things,
yeah,
definitely.
But we have, by and large in our town, we have a respect for law enforcement. Mm-hmm. We have a respect for the country and for the flag, and many people do go to church in this community, and Christianity is not a bad word in
right.
Texarkana, and as it can be in
well,
other
and
places.
We see that as it projects out, we see that in our school systems and everything else, because I remember that one of the first events that we ever went to at the high school when we moved here, they actually, like, in the group assembly for that whatever event it was that evening, I don't remember if it was a basketball game or what it was, but they had a prayer, and I was just flabbergasted, because having come from this teaching in the school system in Houston, in the Houston area, that there's no way that would have happened.
They wouldn't let you do that.
They would have never allowed that to take place. So that was our first kind of window into how different things were going to be here.
Well, and, you know, before a football game, there'll be prayer. Mm-hmm. And that's just really cool to be a part of that.
Right.
And, there's nothing quite like Friday night football in the fall in East Texas, because football's a big deal here.
Yeah.
And to see people come together and to pray, and to know that's normal, that's good, that's right. Nobody's mm-hmm. standing up and say, how dare you, you're offending me.
Right.
So anyway, Jason Aldean is getting hammered by the left, and the country music television won't play that song anymore. And they're saying he's promoting violence, blah, blah, blah. I love what Matt Walsh said about that. I took a picture of that, of his tweet. Let me see if I can find it. So he said, hilarious to hear the media accuse Jason Aldean of writing a song that, quote, promotes violence, when nearly every rap song for the past 30 years has directly and enthusiastically glorified murder, drug dealing, robbery, and every other violent crime, and these people say nothing.
Right.
it's just mind-boggling.
Well, remember, I told you yesterday morning when I was telling you about this music video, because the video was actually came up on my news feed, and I said this is either going to catapult him into just almost
the stratosphere.
The stratosphere, or the media is going to use this to crucify him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that right now we're at the point where the media is trying desperately to crucify him with this. I'm praying that does not happen, and that he truly does. His fans just come together and say, no. Because when you looked at the video, I mean, there is nothing in the song that is indicative of pointing fingers at one particular race or nationality or political party. I mean, none of that is in the video.
It's just about the crime.
It's just about the current culture in which we live, especially if you think about the West Coast,
mm-hmm.
you know, or some of the big cities across the country. And I mean, he's spot on. I mean, we see evidences of this in the headlines of our news pretty much every day, all day long. We see evidence that the videos that he's showing, I mean, they're actual footage from things that have happened. Mm-hmm. So he's not creating any kind of falsehood in them.
Well, I remember when they were tearing down statues, when that was a real popular thing to do. They tried that in Texarkana, and a lot of people that said no showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And they just said, we're not going to let you do this.
Mm-hmm.
And there were more of the people that were salt of the earth folks that were saying no to this, that nothing happened. Mm-hmm. Because you know, the folks that are trying to stir up trouble, they're counting numbers, and if there are more people standing in the way than they have, they back down, because mm-hmm. and so there was no violence, but mm-hmm. you just had a lot of people supporting the police and say, hey, you're not going to tear up our town, and we're not tearing down this statue that's been here for 100 years because you just all of a sudden are triggered by it or mm-hmm. whatever. Right. It's a historical statue and it's going to stay. And so anyway, it is kind of you know, true to the lyrics. Try that in a small town, because small towns don't put up with that stuff.
Right.
It's not that we're lynching people. It's not that we're dragging people behind trucks. It's just that, hey, we're not going to put up with that. And if you go up against the police, well, we stand with the police, because we know that if you destroy the police, then the whole society just becomes dog eat dog. It becomes the Wild West. You better get a gun, because people are just going to, you know, if there's no penalty for a crime, you know, as the scripture says, because the sentence of an evil deed is not executed quickly, the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. If people start to realize, hey, I can rob you and nothing's going to happen to me. I can beat you up and take your things and nothing's going to happen to me. I can even kill you and nothing's going to happen to me. You know, penalty for crime is a good deterrent.
Right. Look at the caning.
Yeah. So right. Singapore doesn't have a lot of crime.
Right.
Why? Because the penalty is swift and severe. And, you know, you see how they cane people in Singapore. Years ago, when that kid sprayed some graffiti on a car or a building or whatever he did, he was going to get caned in Singapore, an American kid, and they, in his uproar, how dare you? I think that he did get caned, if I remember correctly, he did get caned, but a lot less than what he would have. But they interviewed this one kid, and he had raped somebody, and I think he got 15 licks with the cane, and he said he couldn't sit down for a month. And he passed out because of the pain, and they waited for him to wake up to finish. They asked him, they said, would you ever do that again? And he said, no way in the world. Mm-hmm. That gave me nightmares, and I, you know, I mean, he's traumatized from that. But it's like, okay, that's a deterrent.
Right. Well, you think about what's going on in some of the major cities in California, and I know in, I don't know statistics for other states, but in the state of Texas, we are seeing a lot of people moving from California to Texas. Mm-hmm. Because they're just getting out of that state, because it is just becoming more and more chaotic, because they're...
Well, if you lose the rule of law, then you lose order.
Right.
And then it becomes...
So businesses are leaving, corporations are pulling out,
yeah.
And you know, the state that they, you know, they want to just be so liberal and so accommodating and all these other, they're just losing people right and left because of it. And we've said before, just jokingly, it's like, hey, you're welcome to come to Texas, but leave your crazy politics somewhere else, you know. But we see that. We see that happening.
I saw a picture of a grocery store. I think it was a grocery store in San Francisco and one in New York. And they were saying how they have to chain up everything and put, you know, big plexiglass locked cabinets over all their products. And you have to wait for somebody to open that up for you to get stuff. So shopping takes a long time. But they said, if we don't do that, mm-hmm. they come in and steal it all. Mm-hmm. And nobody does anything. So there's no penalty for that. So it's just turns into a free-for-all. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'm joined by my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about in the news, what is going on today. When we come back, we're going to talk about the movie Sound of Freedom. Have you seen Sound of Freedom yet? Debbie and I saw that on Friday night, an amazing movie that I believe every person needs to see, and we need to get involved and stop this human trafficking, especially of children. And so then we'll be taking your call starting in the second segment. So we look forward to talking to you about things going on in the news. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my wife, Debbie. We're talking about things going on in the news, and we've been talking about what is going on with Jason Aldean. Try that in a small town, and that kind of leads us to other issues as it relates to culture and how normal Main Street America, especially small town Main Street America, views all this stuff. You know, when the mainstream media is cramming down our throats, the LGBTQIA plus
the alphabet group,
the alphabet, when they're pushing that down our throats constantly, and drag queen story hour and all this stuff, and people just get sick of it, and they say, you know, we don't believe like that, and we're not going to, you know, you keep promoting this stuff, and we're going to make note of the fact that we're not going to shop in your stores, we're not going to buy your products. Ask the people at Bud Light, how's that working for you?
Ask the Dr. Phil question.
Yeah.
How's that working for you?
You know, because last I checked, companies are in business to make a profit, and if your whole purpose of being in business is to make a political statement or a moral statement, an immoral statement, as Bud Light has chosen to do, then okay, well, that's your choice, but don't be surprised when you go broke, because people are going to quit buying your stuff. I just saw that Costco is going to stop selling Bud Light, and Bud Light has their profitability has dropped like a rock, and they're not selling much of their product because they went all in on the transgender stuff with Dylan Mulvaney, and people said, well, okay, fine, well, we're not going to buy your stuff. Now, Charles Barkley, he went on the offensive, and he told people to drink Bud Light, and he said, if you're homosexual, God bless you. If you're trans, God bless you. And if you have trouble with that, then he used an expletive and basically a very crude way of saying, you know, stick it in your ear. Here's what people like that don't understand. Christians are not personally against these people. We're scripturally against the whole ideology, because we are living our lives by thus says the Lord. How did God set things up? If you're going out of bounds from the way God set things up, then we're never going to salute you, pat you on the back, say, well, that's just a different way for you. You know, God bless you.
To each his own.
Yeah. The idea, God bless you if you are living out of bounds from the morality that he set up. Well, God's never going to bless that. Mm-hmm. So to invoke God's name as a blessing on a person who is living in rebellion toward him, it's like, well, God's never going to bless that. God has said, I hate that. And you keep doing that, and it's on account of these things, as it says in Colossians, that the wrath of God will come. Ask the people of Noah's day, how well did God bless you for living in sin work for them? They were destroyed in a flood. You ask the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, how well did that God bless you phrase go over for them? God rained down fire and brimstone on them. God is a God who is holy, 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 and we are not against people individually. We're against sin. You know, I'm against cancer, but I have compassion for cancer patients. What I don't have compassion for is a cancer patient who's trying to spread cancer to other people and trying to get out there and say, cancer is great. Everybody needs to get cancer. Cancer will kill you. And we're trying to sound the alarm saying, hey, there's a remedy in Jesus Christ. You don't have to die of cancer.
Well, you know, I was thinking about the whole small town idea, and Jeff and I just experienced this yesterday to some degree. I was in a doctor's office. I had to have a test done yesterday, and on the form that I had to fill out, it had some weird things that prior to this doctor visit, I had never had to fill out on a form before. And one of them was, instead of just asking for my sex, it said sex at birth. Okay, so I write female on there. Then I go a little further down the form, and one of the blanks on the form was your preferred pronoun. And that had never been on a medical form that I had had to fill out before until yesterday. And so I made the comment, I said, yeah, I just, when they asked for that, I just wrote in the blank, blah, blah. I mean, because I just think it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And so a couple of other people in the waiting room started talking about it, and everyone else in there had just left it blank. They hadn't filled it in. And so I had made this statement. I said, well, you know, what's the craziest of all of it is that the medical community, which knows the truth,
right?
They biologically know the difference between a man and a woman. And if they don't, they certainly don't need to be in the medical field. But that aside, and they're the ones that are seemingly promoting so much of this.
Right.
And it is just ridiculous. And so it was just interesting, the conversation that went on in that waiting room, because you may think that you're the only one who thinks like that and not have the courage to speak up about it. But when you do, you find that a lot of people think all of it's crazy, mm-hmm. you know, and particularly people in a small town.
Well, you know, so the idea, you hear this a lot from the left, we trust the science. Well, obviously you don't. If you followed the science and trusted the science, you would know that sex and gender are inseparably linked. And it is obvious if you are born with certain body parts, you're
right.
either male or female. I mean,
right.
you don't have to go to school to figure that out. I mean, 3-year-olds know the difference between a boy and a girl.
Right. I think, though, what really spoke to me in all of it was that just by me making that one comment, to see how many other people were tracking. And I think for so many decades, as believers, we have in this thought process that we just want to be accepting, and we want to, you know, not turn people off. We want these seeker-friendly situations in terms of our sharing the gospel with people, how we have lost our gumption. Mm-hmm. We've just lost our gumption, and we've got to get our gumption back, and we've got to stand up, speak up, and live what we say we believe.
Right.
And that's so important, and that's what we saw with the Bud Light stuff. People started speaking up. When people start speaking up, things change.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, well, companies do... they do look at the bottom line, and their shareholders do look at the, I mean, people don't invest in a company to lose money. And so if they're, you know, if you're not in it to sell product, if you're in it to promote some ideology that's a left-wing anti-biblical ideology, then, well, Christians should say, well, I'm not going to support that.
Right.
I'm not supporting you in that. That seems to be your agenda. You don't want to just sell your product. You want to promote this stuff, and I'm not going to back you on that.
And we talked about that just this last week. I talked about this with some friends, because it's like if you tried to only buy products from people who had nothing to do with this agenda, mm-hmm. you wouldn't be able to buy anything.
Right.
Okay, but there's a difference between those companies who use that as their platform. Mm-hmm. They promote that as part of their DNA of their company, because we think about that just in our local Target, which I haven't gone in months, but the people that work there, they don't support those ideologies, but they've worked there for 20 years. They're just getting their paychecks, mm-hmm. right? And so you have to be careful with those companies that just make that as part of their DNA. Those are the companies that you really need to boycott and not give them any financing on to help promote their agendas. But you're going to be hard-pressed to find anywhere to buy anything in our current culture that does not in some form or fashion at least enable... What am I trying to say? You know what I'm trying to say, Jeff.
Yeah, so everybody's got a worldview.
Right.
And so if you say, well, I'm only going to buy from people that have a biblical worldview that's just as conservative as I am, mm-hmm. you're probably not going to buy anything.
Right.
But we do, the ones that are flaunting it, it's in your face. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do about it? Well, when you have an option to buy from someone else, you buy from someone else. Like, well, I don't want to support you. If there's any way I cannot support you, I'm going to go that route, because you are a zealot for anti-biblical, anti-God ideologies, and I'm not going to support that. So, yeah, you know, the old phrase, ignorance is bliss. I mean, sometimes we can enjoy things a whole lot more if we don't know about it, but they're making it known what they're all about. Target has made it known what they're all about. And, you know, if you have an opportunity to buy from someplace else, buy from someplace else. You know, I feel bad for the Christians that work for Target.
Right.
That they're caught in the middle of this.
Exactly.
And it's like, hey, I mean, if my company goes broke, Bud Light, they have no doubt Christians that work in their organization that are starting to hurt. I mean, I heard about two plants that had to shut down that were providing something for the Bud Light packaging or something like that. And that business is so bad. I mean, it's gone down, what, 25% or more, that they quit buying from them. And so it's like, man, they were a big customer of ours, and now we've lost that business, and now we've had to shut down. So I feel for those companies, but that's the world in which we live in today. And Christians do, we need to stand up, we need to speak up, we need to remember, hey, we are soldiers in the Lord's army. Suffer hardship, Paul said to Timothy, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. The Christian life is not a day at the beach. It's a day at Iwo Jima. I mean, it's you are a soldier for the Lord, and it's going to be difficult. And we have an adversary, the devil, who prowls around seeking someone to devour, prowls around like a roaring lion. And so we need to teach our kids that, hey, this is, God has put us here on this earth for such a time as this to be his witnesses, to speak the truth in love, and it's going to cost us. And it'll cost us friends, it'll cost us maybe jobs, it'll cost us perhaps our freedom. It could get to the place where people like me, I know you don't like to hear this, Debbie, but people like me could get arrested and put in jail.
I don't like to hear that.
You know, that happened in Canada during the COVID thing. It could cost us our lives, as it's been costing people their lives since Christianity began with the Lord Jesus Christ and his death and burial and resurrection. So those things are real, and we need to understand the times and what Israel should do, what we should do as the people of God. And we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you as we've been talking about some of these subjects. Debbie, let's talk about The Sound of Freedom.
Yes.
The movie that was based on the true story of Tim Ballard, a Homeland Security agent whose heart was pricked with the situation with these young children being kidnapped and sex trafficked, and how sickening and just
perverse.
It's just evil.
Yes.
To the nth degree, how somebody could take a beautiful, innocent little child and kidnap them and you know, put them in this life of living hell. Mm-hmm. As a 5-6-year-old kid,
right.
It's just mind-boggling. As Jim Caviezel, who played Tim Ballard in the movie, he said, hey, you know, you sell a bag of cocaine one time, but he said you can sell a 5-6-year-old kid 5 to 10 times a day for 10 years.
Right.
And that's why it's such a growing business.
And, you know, as we left the movie, we talked about just how fabulous the movie was and how heavy the movie was. So it is most assuredly not a feel-good movie.
No.
In any way, shape, or form. But it was done so well, and it left you with a sense of responsibility. It left you with a sense of the importance of getting the message out. And it also left you with a sense of hope. And if you have not seen it, it most assuredly is a must-see. Mm-hmm. And I find it very interesting that, number one, I saw a meme on this just yesterday that it was simple. It said this, remember that Disney owned this movie and wouldn't release it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then Angel Studios bought the rights to it from Disney and they went on to produce it. But I thought that was quite telling, you know, but the importance of of making sure that we don't keep our heads in the sand. And again, it goes back to that we get some gumption, you know, that it's important.
Right. Stand up for the truth. Well, we have Matthew on the line from Oklahoma. Matthew, welcome to Real Truth for today. Matthew. Go ahead. Uh-oh. Bad connection. Try calling back, Matthew. We'd love to get you back. Well, that movie Sound of Freedom is taking the country by storm, really. It's outpaced Disney's Indiana Jones and the Dial of Diapers.
Oh, Jeff.
Dial of Destiny. Harrison's getting a little long in the tooth there, but pretty amazing how they have the CGI that can make him look younger.
Right, yeah.
So,
but that is interesting, and you know, we were reading after we saw the Sound of Freedom. We were reading about how in different cities across the country, weird things are going on to keep and prevent people from seeing this movie, like telling them that the theater's sold out and it's not sold out, having the air conditioning broke in that one particular theater, just different plots to make sure that this message doesn't get out.
Yeah, it is. It's a movie that people need to see. Sound of Freedom with Jim Caviezel, who is a warrior for what he believes in. And so I admire him for that. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for today. We have people on the line that we'll get to. We are up against a break, but we look forward to talking to Matthew and Lori and Scott when we come back. And so don't go away as we talk about in the news, what is going on in America, and how we are called as God's people to stand up, to speak the truth in love. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with Debbie, and we're talking about in the news. We're talking about things that people are talking about right now in the news cycle. The Jason Aldean song, Try That in a Small Town, Sound of Freedom, the movie based on the true story of Tim Ballard. We're talking about companies that are going all in for LGBTQ trans stuff, Charles Barkley, and not understanding where we're coming from. This is not personal, it's scriptural, and we stand for the Lord and His Word, and we want people to be set free. We don't want to see people destroyed. God will not bless sin, and to say God bless you if you're gay, and God bless you if you're trans, and God bless you if you're a murderer, and God bless you, God won't bless that. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And God says it's on account of these things that His wrath will come, and there is salvation in Jesus. I don't care what you've done. You can come to Him in repentance, turning from sin and faith, and He will forgive you. He will save you. He will set you free. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. And I think we have Matthew on a better line, hopefully. Matthew from Oklahoma. Welcome to Real Truth for today.
Hey, good morning, Pastor and ma'am. How are you all doing today?
Doing
good.
Well.
We can hear you now.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sorry. I hit a dead spot. I'm out in the country.
No problem.
I just want to say thank you so much for your encouragement. I get to hear your show off and on. My wife and I have six beautiful children. The Lord's blessed us. We're rich. And I wanted to encourage the people that are listening to your show. If you get a chance to watch The Sound of Freedom, my wife and I went out the other day for date night, got a chance to catch it. And, you know, it's a hard thing to watch.
Yeah.
But the reality of what we're seeing is the spiritual darkness that, you know, the Lord kind of showed me this picture one time about, like, if you could picture the map of America and a silhouette of like a dark piece of paper across the top of it. And that's kind of where we are right now. But then there were small pinholes. And those are the prayers of the saints that people are praying and asking God to deliver us from the wickedness. That's what we need. We need more people to pray, and that's what you're calling us to do, to be aware and to pay attention, and then also to pray. And so I want to tell you thank you. And, you know, if you get a chance to watch the show, all the listeners, it's totally worth it, and you'll come away encouraged of, you know, just because there are people out there who are doing something to combat this. And so anyway, that's all I had to say. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Matthew. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for your encouragement. I posted a picture of a little girl, a meme, beautiful little girl, probably 5 years old, and it says, "They're not after you, they're after me. You need to be in the way." And you know, when you think about it, so the left rejects God, His word, and His ways, and pro-abortion, pro-sin, basically. They're straight out of Romans 1. John MacArthur had said this, and it's so true. The Democrat platform is straight out of Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, which lists all the sins of a society that rejects God. And when you reject God, you don't want to honor me anymore. You don't want to follow me. You don't want to give me thanks. Okay, God gives you over to sexual immorality. He gives you over to homosexuality. He gives you over, thirdly, to a reprobate mind, a mind that doesn't function anymore. And that's what we see in our world today. And when a person goes that route, don't ever get the idea that that person is going to be walking in personal morality. They're not. It's going to be the bottom of the barrel. Everything and anything goes, and they're going to come after these sweet little innocent children to want to do unspeakable evil with these kids that have no choice, that are just caught up in this and sentenced to a life of hell.
You know, I was reading just this morning in Isaiah, and these verses just spoke to me in terms of how they parallel what's going on in our current culture today. And it was in Isaiah 8 where he says this: "The Lord spoke to me with his great power and warned me not to follow the lead of the rest of the people." Mm-hmm. People are saying things and making other plans, but you should not believe them. Do not be afraid of what they fear. Do not dread those things, but remember that the Lord, all-powerful, is holy. And I think we've so lost sight of that, and that we have got to return back to a fear of the Lord and being willing to follow after Him, getting our gumption back and standing up for the truths of His word that are unchangeable and that are powerful, and that He is our shelter. We run to Him. We don't rely on our culture, and we look to Him to be the answer, and we look to Him to be the one to guide, to lead, to protect. And He's just, that fear of that and that dread of the Lord, those are the things that have kind of fallen into the background, and we're so fearful of not offending those around us. And I think that's, we see that just constantly in our culture.
We need to be afraid of offending God.
Right,
you know, we're
exactly.
called to be His witnesses and His ambassadors, and so we need to stand up and speak the truth. People have such a perverted view of love. Mm-hmm. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. It rejoices in the truth. And so if somebody's going to be living in unrighteousness, you can't rejoice in that. You can't say, well, God bless you. Mm-hmm. God is not going to bless that. Mm-hmm. You say to that, you warn that person, you are on a path that leads off a cliff that leads to destruction, not just in this life, but for all eternity. And I love you too much to pat you on the back as you go off that cliff. So that is our job as believers, to stand in the gap and to stand up and speak up. Well, we have Lori on the line from Oklahoma. Lori, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to tell people that it's really an essential part of what you do this summer is to go and see the movie The Sound of Freedom. I've actually seen it twice. I took a young girl that I mentor, and then I went with an organization that I work with. And the organization is an anti-human trafficking organization based right here in Lawton, Oklahoma, called The Red Cord. And what we do is we try to help combat this vile evil through education, awareness, training, to kind of get people to understand what we need to do to prevent this from happening. organization a few years ago. Tim Ballard was our keynote speaker at our only annual fundraiser. And I will tell you, he is the real deal. He is a father. He is a warrior. He is a phenomenal person. And it breaks my heart that they're attacking him. Mm-hmm. And this movie does deal with human trafficking on a global international perspective. But what we need to happen is we need this to be something that we're addressing that's happening right here in our community. There's not a state in our great nation that's not affected. There's not a town, because human trafficking is not just happening over there. It's happening here. Mm-hmm. And is it not only happening here, but we are the producers and the buyers and the mm-hmm. fuelers of this problem. And so mm-hmm. we really need to push it.
Amen. Absolutely.
That's so good.
You know, we were talking about that living in Texas. It really hits home with us because we are one of those border states, right? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, we're not patrolling that. Our current government is wanting to let anybody in that wants to come in. And that's an entry point for so much of this trafficking comes through the borders in
Texas.
As
they showed in the movie.
Yes. And so it particularly hits home for us being Texans and just the importance of getting the word out and encouraging those who are fighting the fight, that are there on that border patrolling and watching those that are coming in and policing all of that, just the importance and the significance of that, not just economically, but for the safety of those that are trying to be trafficked in and in.
That's right. If you really love people, you're going to want secure borders mm-hmm. because you don't want to see this happening to children. Well, God bless you, Lori, and thank you for calling in and sharing that. And God bless your work. We have Don on the line from Mississippi. Don, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. And praise be to you and your wife, man. Hey, you know, I was in the military for 30 years. And on my last tour, I was in Iraq. So if I'm breathing hard, I'm in the gym. Sorry about that. but what happened was, is that they was put us on top of these buildings in what they call a crow's nest. So just like us that was there, we as believers need to be watchmen on the wall.
That's right.
And what's happening in our community, and especially in our churches, because I got people in my church, even my pastor sometimes, when we talk about this movement, they almost put scales on their own eyes. So they get along they put the scales there so they won't have to see what's going on. But that's not what God has called us to be.
Right.
God has called us to point it out and call it what it is. You know, in the neighborhood I come from, we had an old saying that said, call a spade,
right.
You know,
right.
And it's hard not to see. Even my little 10-year-old, he asked me sometimes, he said, Daddy, he said, is that a man or a woman? I said, son, that's a man pretending to be a woman.
Right.
I said, you know, it's just like we play pirate, he's playing a woman.
Right.
So the thing of it is, and the gist and what I wanted to say was, is that we have to be watchmen on the wall. Jan Markell hits it dead on target, that we have to be the
right.
watchmen on the wall so we can see that enemy coming at us
right.
and not be afraid. You know, I'm like the Spartans, you know.
Right.
I don't run from the fright. I run to it. I want to protect the kingdom. And the only way we can protect the kingdom is take up the armor, put mm-hmm. on the whole armor,
right,
and do what we have to do. So thank you for your time. I appreciate you guys every single day.
Thank you, Don. Amen. And God bless you. And you're exactly right. We're called to be watchmen on the wall. We're called to sound the alarm. We're called to stand up and speak up and let people know the enemy is coming. This is where he's attacking. And we need to rally together to stand up against that.
You know, what's interesting about that watchman on the wall, I had just studied this and taught this in a Bible study. It's that the people that was their job back in the day, mm-hmm. If they failed to alert the people that when something was coming, the responsibility of anything that came negatively from that, deaths, attack, whatever, that was on them. Mm-hmm. So they felt an extreme sense of responsibility, right, to make sure that they were alert on the wall and to do their job, because they would be responsible for any negative outcome that came.
Yeah, as the Lord says, hey, if you don't warn, then his right. blood is on your hands.
Right, and so I think it goes back to what I had said earlier in the broadcast. It's like we've lost our sense of responsibility and the urgency and the significance and importance of the fact that we are indeed called to be watchmen.
Right. Well, it's just like when we saw Esther and Branson. Mm-hmm. We were reminded in the book of Esther, hey, perhaps you've attained royalty for such a time as this. Don't think that you're going to escape. Mm-hmm. You're not. Mm-hmm. And if judgment comes to the Jews, it's going to come to you too. But you have an opportunity to stand up and speak up. And the line from Esther, I'll go talk to the king, and if I perish, I perish. That's how Christians need to live. Mm-hmm. I've already lost my life to the Lord. You can't kill me because I've already given my life to the Lord. My job is just to do his will. If I perish, I perish. And as Paul said before he got his head cut off, the Lord will deliver me from every evil deed and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory. Well, we have just a few minutes left. Pam from Texas. Pam, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, thank you. I was just calling concerning the pronouns.
Uh-huh.
It's irritating to me to have someone call me on the phone and call me by my first name. It shows no respect, in my opinion. So my preferred pronoun is Mrs. Mrs. in my last name. Not call me by my first name unless you're my friend. And I tell you, just call me Pam or whatever. So that's my comment.
All right. Well, thank you, Mrs. Pam. I don't have your last name on my board. It just says Pam, but I'll call you Mrs. Pam for sure. Well, I just think the pronoun thing, especially from the medical community, it's like, hey, if you guys, I'm going to you because I'm thinking you are smart. You've studied biology and medicine and chemistry and knows the sciences. And for you to say, what is your preferred pronoun? It's just ridiculous. You know, if this person is a male, language is what language is. A male is a he, a female is a she, a male has XY chromosomes, that's he, a female has XX chromosomes, that's she, and that's just the way it is. If you don't like it, tough. That's the way God set it up. You can create your own universe. Somewhere you can speak that into existence, but oh, you can't, because you're not God. He is God, and he sets it up the way he wants it to be. Well, Tyra, I'm sorry I didn't get to you, but thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and I look forward to being with you again tomorrow as we talk to Steve and David Rogers, Adrian Rogers' sons, in a program that I've entitled Remembering Adrian Rogers. It's going to be great. I'll see you tomorrow. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.